Tell them I'm a registered terrorist, on a fugitive list, wanted list. That's all you get to write in the, what do you call that? First class plate. All right. All right, we're going to praise the Lord on this November the 20th.
Wait, 1 minute, buddy.
Okay.
I'll tell you. Go for it.
We want to praise the Lord on this November the 21st. Lord's Day Sunday morning, Thanksgiving week coming up. And, you know, I heard a song on the way up here. I ain't kidding. It overwhelmed me. I was crying my eyes out. And the song said, it don't matter where you bury me. It said, because I'll be free. And, you know, it's troublesome times down here.
Yes.
And going to get worse. But praise God, it's going to get better. Because we're going to get out of it. Amen.
That's right.
I was singing on the way up here when I heard that song about David in great distress there in 1 Samuel chapter 30. Because Ziklag had been burnt to the ground. His wives were gone. His children was gone. And the Bible said David encouraged himself in the Lord his God. That's what we need to do more of, is to remember God's still on the throne.
Yes. That's
He's
right.
Still in control. And praise God, we're on the right side. Hallelujah. But we want to go, Lord, in prayer before we teach this lesson this morning. Father, we thank You for Your Word, Lord, how precious it is.
Yes, Father.
Lord, in the book of Samuel said the Word of God was precious in those days because there was no open vision. And Lord, You've given us, Lord, the Word of God. And we ought to give the most earnest heed to it. And we're trying, Lord. Ask, Lord, for Your help today. Open Your words. Make Your words known. Lord, we just pray, God, Lord, You would open our eyes. We may behold wondrous things out of Your law, Father. We give You praise and glory. Lord, we pray, Lord, Father, for the people that will be coming to church today. That, Lord, You'll be able to give them, Lord, a safe passage here. Bless them while they're here and a safe passage back home. Lord, we thank You, Father, Lord, for being merciful, gracious, long-suffering, patient, Lord. And Lord, Your love, Lord, is unsurpassed. It's unconditional love. We thank You for that. Pray that, Lord God, You bless this lesson today. And I pray for the people that will be listening to this lesson today. A lot of hard, cold facts in this lesson today. And Lord, we want to do our best, Lord, to present it as it is indeed the Word of God. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen.
Amen.
This will be a Sunday school lesson here.
Good morning, Carol.
That to a lot of people will be considered controversial. And that's just due to the day and hour we're living in. That's the only reason for that. I'll bring some things to mind here in a minute that'll explain why I just said that. But I'm going to reread two verses before we get into our first verse, verse 24. Verse 21 says, because that when they knew God, America used to walk with God, and they knew God in the classroom, they knew God in the Pentagon, they knew God in the Oval Office, they knew God in the the Capitol building and Congress, the senators and all that, they all knew God. But come a point where they got a little bit of power.
Right.
They got a little bit of money.
A lot of money.
And it causes someone to be, well, it says they were unthankful.
Uh-huh.
It says, because when they knew God, they glorified Him not as God, neither were thankful. That's why we got to be careful about this day coming up called Thanksgiving. I was telling Donnie last night, we went to eat last night, and I was telling him Psalms 92, verse 1, says it's a good thing to give thanks unto the Lord. And you know, when you get to thinking about things other than God, you can drift away like these did. And said they glorified Him not as God. They started using bywords. You know the Most High. You know they call it man upstairs. They use a lot of kind of like what I call slang words. All they was doing was denying the obvious. And God being long-suffering, merciful, you know, He didn't send down bolts of lightning. I would have, if I was God. Glad he ain't like me. But they knew God, because that when they knew God, they glorified Him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. I just described the present state of America somewhat today. We've got a growing number of atheists today, growing number of Satanists today. One reason that they're growing is because the church is on the decline. And we need to really stir our heart about this matter, because we're the only example they have, and the colder we get,
yes,
the more number they get, you know, that say, you know, they say there's nothing to it. Well, there's so great a cloud of witnesses, we can't even name them all. But, you know, we need to be in that number ourselves. We need to let our light shine. We're the salt. We're the body of Christ in this year 2021.
Mm-hmm.
He went about doing good. And I've heard a report about the church doing a lot of things that wasn't good. And they got caught. Good thing they did get caught, because it went no further. But verse 22 said, professing themselves to be wise. Everything now is about how much college. I've been to college. I have to admit, it was somewhat of a disappointment to me. And I'd like to say this to all the college people out there. If you've never read your Bible through, you've not really learned anything worth learning. One of the greatest experiences of my 68, soon to be 68 year life, I'll be 68 in February, was reading my Bible through. I remember the first year, 1988, when I read my Bible through right after I got saved. I purposed in my heart. I got saved April 27th, 1988, and I determined that I was going to read my Bible through for the end of that year. I knew nothing of the Bible, knew nothing of what was in it. And I spent that whole year on my knees saying, I'm sorry, I'm sorry, I'm sorry, I'm sorry. I mean, I knew I was sorry. I just didn't know how sorry I was till I read that Bible through.
Yeah.
And they put the finger on the problem, and the problem wasn't with him, the problem was with me.
Amen. That's
right. And I'm glad he does make the crooked straight, because I was crooked. And you know these so-called PhD, post-hole diggers, and doctors of divinity and all that stuff?
Yeah.
I want to say most of them don't know enough Bible to blow their nose.
Yeah, that's right.
But professing themselves to be wise, you know, they do a lot of strutting, and they get in the spotlight, but it says they became fools. And when I think about fools, I think about Psalms 14 verse 1, says a fool has said in his heart that there is no God.
Right.
Same thing repeated, Psalms 53 verse 1,
right.
The fool has said in his heart there is no God. And even worse than that is Luke chapter 12 verse 20, where there's a man really got blessed. He's got to tear his barn down, build bigger barn, because his crop brought forth so plentifully. That night when he fell in his head to not go to sleep, he got a wake-up call from God, and God called him by his name, and God said this to him. He said, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. And these, they professed themselves to be wise, but they became fools concerning the principal things. And one thing every fool needs to be aware of, one day you're going to die. It may not be today, but you're going to die one day.
Yeah.
I'm glad I made preparation against that day. Hell, I feel in my head every night. I sleep like a baby. The only thing you can threaten me with is waking up in heaven. Verse 23, and change the glory of the incorruptible God. I remember a man getting elected on that word. I don't know about you, but I'm ready for change. And we'll comment more on that here in a minute. But they want to change everything. Sometimes the change is for the worse, not for the good.
Right.
But in this case, it is for the worse. They change the glory of the incorruptible God into an image made like unto corruptible man, and the birds, and the four-footed beasts, and creeping things. I've noticed they've been taking a lot of statues down. And I've noticed they've been putting a lot of statues up, and they take them down too. They're worse than what they think of the ones they're taking down. At least those men had integrity.
Yeah.
At least those men knew somewhat of what it meant, like to fight for freedom, as the people that are enjoying freedom today are none of a bunch of spoiled brats to take a good look at what they're doing. Anything that offends them, they want it removed.
Right. Mm-hmm.
But they want this removed. Good luck. Jesus said in Matthew 24:35, heaven and earth will pass away, but my word shall not pass away.
Amen.
It's here to stay.
Amen.
Jesus said men ought not live by bread alone, but by every word proceeds out of the mouth of God. Matthew 4:4. We've got much to do with this word. You either fall on it, or it'll fall on you.
Right.
If you fall on it, you'll live. If it falls on you, it'll grind you to powder.
That's right.
But they changed the glory of God and made it like unto a corruptible man, made it like unto birds and the four-footed beasts, creeping things, anything that they could put in place of God. They felt better about it because they didn't want conviction. One thing about God is He got me good and lost, Sharon, before He got me good and saved.
That's right.
I couldn't even get myself lost, much less get myself saved. And I'm glad He loved me enough to convince me of the fact that I was going to hell. I'm glad He loved me enough to convince me of the fact that I need to get saved. And I'll tell you what, He even helped me to do it after He convinced me of the fact I was lost on my way to hell. He helped me get saved. Okay, verse 24 is our first verse. Wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanliness through the lust of their own hearts to dishonor their own bodies between themselves. I want you to know that in Genesis chapter 6, God is regretting that He even made man.
Yes, that's right.
He's grieved.
Sorry.
Now I'll say He's grieved today. But in Genesis chapter number 6, it says, and God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth. You know, God sees everything.
Oh, yes.
And I am glad He's long-suffering, merciful, kind. Woo! Boy, if He did, instead of drops of rain, it'd be like bolts of lightning coming down up there. And that every imagination of the thoughts of His heart was only evil continually. Man had a heart problem. And that heart problem that man had was because of evil and wickedness. Verse 6 says in Genesis 6:6 that it repented the Lord that He had made man on the earth, and it grieved Him at His heart. You see, man's always had a problem. And he's never wanted any help with it. He just wants to be left alone. He wants to live his own life. He wants to do things his own way. Thank God for a merciful, kind Creator. But God said in verse 7, and the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast, and the creeping thing and the fowls of the air, for it repenteth me that I have made them.
Yeah.
And here in verse 24, you've got almost a parallel to that. God is again disappointed in man, and He gave him up to uncleanness. In other words, get you fill. And one thing they're doing today is exploiting some things today, and I wish they'd get their feel of it.
Yeah, that's right.
But uncleanliness through the lust of their own hearts. That burning lust to do things that gratify and satisfy flesh comes with a price. And they dishonor their own bodies between themselves. Somebody said, what's that talking about? It's talking about that thing you don't want to get be caught doing. And this speaks more about it here in a minute. Who changed the truth of God into a lie and worshiped and served the creature more than the Creator who is blessed forevermore. Now you ain't going to change God and you're not going to change His Word. But what they did is they rewrote the Bible.
Mm-hmm.
And they wrote a version that was kind of I don't know what y'all call it, more friendly to sin. It didn't. It just kind of sugarcoated everything. And, you know, people today, they want somebody to tickle their ear. They don't want nobody to preach precept upon precept, line upon line, hear a little and there a little of the Word of God. So they get them some kind of preacher with lace on his underwear. And they get, you know, some kind of Bible that ain't fit to start a fire with. And they think, you know, that that's okay.
Yeah.
And that there'll be no no repercussions from that. When God shows up in Revelation chapter 6, it said the first thing man does, he looks for a hiding place.
Yeah, that's right.
I mean, they're diving in caves without ropes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They're seeking death and it's fleeing from. Can you imagine somebody wanting to die and can't die?
Yeah.
See, all man's doing is digging his own pit here.
That's right. Yep,
it is. And these things are changing. You know, Adam and Eve, they made them a fig leaf apron. It worked pretty good till God showed up. And God showed up, they wouldn't hid themselves.
Yeah.
Well, that's kind of like what this is. It works for men, but it don't work for God.
Right.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I could do something, Donnie said, I don't see no problem with it, but God might say, I see a problem with it.
Yeah.
The inevitable is this right here, Hebrews 9:27, as it's appointed unto man once to die, and after that, the judgment. One day, you're going to stand before God, and you're going to wish you left this world alone. You're going to wish you hadn't changed some things. And you know what? Man is never going to, the Bible says in John chapter 3, that men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds are evil. Neither come they to the light, lest their deeds be reproved. Man's always trying to figure out a way around the Word of God, around, you know, judgment and all that right there. They do it today.
Yeah.
In the courtroom, you get a good lawyer paying enough money, he gets you out of anything.
That's right.
I was kind of glad to see some justice in that Kyle Rittenhouse. I didn't know how that was going to go. I'm telling you, they got everything rigged now. I was glad to see people come out unanimously, not guilty. And I don't have no axe to grind here. But you get in trouble nowadays, you better be careful.
Yeah.
Better get you a good lawyer, because they'll chew you up and spit you out.
Yeah, they will.
Man doesn't want to worship God. Verse 25, who changed the truth of God into a lie. It's impossible for God to lie. Hebrews chapter 6, verse 18.
Yeah.
Titus chapter 1, verse 2 says God who cannot lie.
Yeah.
Hebrews 6, 18 says it's impossible for God to lie. But they changed the truth of God into a lie.
Mm-hmm.
And when he done that, then they worship and serve the creature more than the Creator who's blessed forever. Amen. Now, what we're reading here is kind of like, instead of evolution, it's devolution. They're going down. They're not going up. They think, you know, that we started out and on our way up. It's just opposite. We started out to top. We're working our way down. They changed truth into lie. They changed creature to take the place of the Creator. And that just can't, it won't never work. Verse 26, for this cause, now God's bringing judgment here. For this cause God gave them up to vile affections. Now one reason that men have second thoughts about vile affections is because of consequences. So they are trying to find some way to enjoy the pleasures of sin, even though it's but for a season, according to Moses there in Hebrews chapter 11. God just says, have at it. And you know, it's not good for men to do what they want. They need to do what thus saith the Word of God. They may not, but they need to. Because the price, I'm trying to think of someone here. Oh, it's Cain. My punishment's greater than I can bear when he killed his brother Abel.
Yeah.
God, all God did gave him a guilty conscience. And he said, my punishment's greater than I can bear. Man, they don't consider the consequences of a guilty conscience. They don't consider the consequences of answering to God for their actions. But for this cause, God gave them up. In Genesis 6, God gave them up, going to destroy the whole world with a flood. In Genesis 19, God gave up Sodom and Gomorrah. Verses 24-25, He didn't rain down water, He rained down fire. And it consumed Sodom and Gomorrah. Genesis 19:24-25. There's times that God will give up. You know, He said in Genesis 6, verse 3, My spirit will not always strive with a man.
Right. Amen.
Let me stop in the middle of this verse right here. Does anybody remember this woman right here, Kim Davis?
Yes.
County court clerk.
Yes.
August 2015 in Kentucky refused to give a marriage license to two gay men.
That's right.
And, you know, she got put in jail. She got sued. She really didn't do nothing wrong. She just said, you know, if you want a marriage license, go to somebody else. Don't come to me. So she had to forfeit her rights or her faith or belief or whatever. And, you know, by force, they're trying to force her to bow. And she didn't bow.
No.
And she served her time in jail. Come out.
Yeah, bless her heart.
Sweetheart Bakery in Oregon, July 2015, refused to make a cake for a same-sex couple, a wedding cake. They got in trouble. I think they even went out of business. A flower shop was sued for refusing to make a flower arrangement for a gay couple wedding, 2013 in Washington. Masterpiece Cake Shop, Jack Phillips refused to bake a cake for a same-sex couple, and he won his case. Now, nobody could believe it. He won. These lawsuits are over the rights of the LGBTQ people against religious objections. You know, I understand they've got an opinion. I just can't figure out why I can't have an opinion. They think it's okay. I think it's not okay. You know, let them go do whatever they're going to do. That's kind of what God said. He gave them up. He gave them up. That don't make it right.
You know, they're the one that's coming down on Christianity now. And the government won't even step in and stop them from
true.
Doing it.
No. You see, they found out they've got power in courts.
Yeah.
So we had one president that put a lot of judges in position so that they could have a leg to stand on so they could prosecute Christians and have a chance of winning. Then you got another president come behind him and put a bunch of conservative, the other one put a bunch of activist judges in there, federal activist judges. Then you got another come there and put a bunch of conservative judges in there. And you see this courtroom is where you either stand or bow. And these, you know, Kim, she didn't bow.
No.
I'm pretty proud of her.
Yes.
But this gender transition, this sexual perversion, you know, it's kind of brought out even in this Sunday school lesson here. It says, for this cause God gave them up unto vile affections. For even their women did change the natural use to that which is against nature. I mean, even, you know, it don't make no sense any way you look at it. Somebody said that Anderson Cooper and Don Lemon, they's okay with mandates. That's just a joke. But, you know, God made them in the beginning. He made them male and female. He made them for this cause, that they could be fruitful. And they don't want to accept that. They don't want to accept this. They don't want to accept my opinion. They want their opinion. They want it their way. I guess it's Frank Sinatra sung a song and I did it my way. Well, that's kind of what they're doing. It don't make it right. We've had a homosexual president. I won't name him, but I will give you a hint. He changed the color of the White House into rainbow color. Does that help any?
Yeah. Barack Obama, I'll
say it. Yeah. I'm just telling you, we got a lot of things going on right now that ought not be going on. And I don't think we can ever find our way back because the tracks have been all muddied up.
Yeah.
A lot of lies been told. A lot of things been done. But God gave them up to vile affections. He don't say it's good. He says vile affections.
Right.
You know what? Even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature. That's pretty bad.
Mm.
Now we've got some kind of guy thinks he's a girl, goes in a woman's restroom with a dress on and
rapes a young girl.
Yeah. Somehow we're supposed to just accept that. Mm. I don't accept it.
No.
That wasn't the first time he'd done it. He'd done it somewhere else and they put him in this school.
Yeah.
And you know, I'm kind of proud of these teachers. Not teachers, but parents that are standing up against what's going on in these schools and say we've had enough. And they can say whatever they want to. They can make out of what they want to, but in my opinion, these parents and their children, they ought to have a say in the matter.
Amen.
And they're opposing this. They want it thrown out. This, this teaching, LGBTQ teaching, needs to be thrown out with the trash.
That's right.
Thrown out with the garbage.
Amen.
This critical race theory needs to be thrown out with the garbage. Man, they need to get back just teaching children reading, writing, arithmetic. But God, He's aware of all this. This doesn't take God by surprise. And it says God has given them up to vile affection. That's a sad note. That's a sad note. Verse 27, likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust one toward another. That's kind of, I think it's kind of describing Don Lemon and Anderson Cooper. Mm. Anderson Cooper, I don't know. Have you noticed we've got so many homosexuals now in the news reporting area, in the military, in the teaching area, in politics, in churches? How'd that happen? They infiltrated while we was asleep and chasing after worldly things. They just crept in. The Bible talks about evil men crept in unawares.
Yeah.
I know the Bible says that it has to be a falling away for the Lord's going to come back. And I see us somewhat falling away. We're supposed to be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. For as much we know our labor is not in vain in the Lord. But I see somewhat of a falling away. Paul told the young preacher Timothy in 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 18, to war a good warfare. And that's worded pretty good. He said it's a war. And we've got to fight this battle. He told him to endure hardness as a good soldier in the Lord, in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 3.
You know, can I say something about this falling away?
Absolutely. I'd like to have some participation.
Okay. People say, the falling away is going to be in the church. I don't think it's going to be so much in the church people as it is in government. You know, there used to be a lot of Christians in government.
Right.
And they stood up for us. Today, they do not. They don't care what people does to the church.
That's true,
and
brother.
I think this falling away is in government, not so much in Christian people falling away.
He just described Proverbs 29, verse 2, when the righteous are in authority, the people rejoice, but when the wicked bear rule, the people mourn. It does matter about who's in, like he's talking about in government and in decision-making positions. Of course, they're ordaining gays and homosexuals in the churches now.
Yes, they are.
But we're being infiltrated with things that ought not be so.
Right.
But we need to war good warfare. The best way to do that, just look at them parents that are going to these school board meetings and saying, enough. Throw this stuff out.
Yeah.
And they call them terrorists. They say they don't have a say. They say you don't have a say about your own children. excuse me. I'll take my children somewhere else. They're my children.
That's right.
And I appreciate it. That's what they're doing. That's what war and a good warfare is, saying, no, this is not acceptable. No, this is not going to happen. No, get this stuff out or I'm pulling my children out. And if it comes down to pulling our children out, you know, I hate it that it would have to come to that. But if it comes to that, so be it. I know a lot of churches now are starting schools, and I praise them for that. And that may be what it's come down to. I mean, our children's ones suffering.
You know, last week I was up at Cumberland and into a gentleman's home up there. He had 8 children sitting around a big old table there. His wife was homeschooling those kids.
Hey, mate.
He said, I will not allow my kids to go to these schools.
Now, that's what I'm talking about war and a good warfare.
The man that was standing up for what he believed.
Hey, mate.
And I praised him for it. I told him, I said, you know what? I got to give you praise.
Hey, amen, brother.
You know,
see, war and a good warfare means you do what you got to do.
Yes.
For the sake of your children, for the sake of your family. You can't do nothing and not pay the price for it. Doing nothing, I think, is what kind of got us. You know, they want us to turn the head, and this is no big deal. They try to sugarcoat it, they try to somehow smooth it over. This is a big deal. This is a, what do you call it, well, I lost train of thought there. This is not only causing problems, but it's not going to go away until we say enough. No. Back years ago, they used to take pitchforks and torches and show up at the Capitol building and say, no, we're not doing it.
You
and
know,
it worked.
You know what drew my attention most to this family was, I think there was 3 girls and maybe 5 boys. I don't know. But they was more boys than was girls. Brother Eddie, when I introduced myself as Ed Morse, one at a time, these little kids stood up, told me their name, and said, good morning, Ed Morse. Good morning, Ed Morse. I mean, all the way around the table.
Yeah. I taught manners at home.
That's respect right there. Is exactly. That's respect for the elders.
Hey, man.
And I say, thank you, Lord Jesus, for somebody is raising their kids to be right.
I salute them. I ain't kidding. That's exceptional.
I did.
The Bible says to train up a child in the way that he should go when he's old and not depart. But I was taught, yes, sir, yes, ma'am, no, sir, no, ma'am.
Yeah,
I was taught respect.
Doing that,
I was taught, you know, to do right. And if I didn't, I knew the consequences of it. But I think it just kind of left a chance now. Give a kid a smartphone or a cartoon or a remote control and leave the room. But you know, my parents, I have to admit, brother, they didn't leave me alone. They kept this boy busy. And they let me know there was rules in our house. And I figured out on my own that I wasn't going to get by with breaking them. And I also figured on my own that there were some things I had to do whether I liked it or not.
Yeah, that's right.
And I love my parents more for that than anything they've done for me. But in this lesson here, the men are leaving the natural use of the woman. That just don't even make no sense. I mean, you got to be, brain dead.
That's right.
There's something wrong. I mean, the Bible talked about Elijah being a man of like passion. And passion is something that a man has to have, but not towards another man.
Mm-hmm.
Man, when it comes to me and another man, it's kind of like I'll respect him if I can. If not, we're gonna lay hands on each other, I'll tell you right now.
Right.
But men, with leaving a natural use of the woman, burned in their lust one towards another. That does not even make sense in my mind. I know it goes on, but it does, I mean, it's reprobate, but it does not even make any sense. Men with men working that which is unseemly. It's almost like a curse from God because they wouldn't let God be God and they wouldn't honor the truth of the Word of God, tried to change it into a lie, and they just got infatuated with stuff that God didn't put His blessing on, put a curse on, but men with men working that which is unseemly and receiving in themselves that recompense of their error which was met. You know, they're making a mistake. And it says that recompense. They're being paying the price for it. They're being judged for this mistake. And verse 28, they don't even... And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to reprobate mind to those things which are not convenient. Now, this is almost like demonic. I mean, I've never had a reprobate mind. I had a mind that was contrary, but not reprobate. Reprobate means, you know, it's way out there. I mean, it's kind of like, you know, I just say demonic because it's ungodly. It, you know, you don't want to be reprobate. Now, their problem is they don't want nothing to do with God, and they got to, I mean, in Him we live, move, have our being. It's not like they're going to get by with not having nothing to do with God. They don't like to retain God in their knowledge. And God just winks at that according to Acts chapter 17, I believe it's verse 30. God winks at that ignorance and commands men everywhere to repent. They may not like to retain God in their knowledge, but they're not going to get too far without God. And God gave them over to a reprobate mind. And we've got a lot of reprobate going on today. I can see some of these laws that are being passed.
Yeah.
That represent that reprobate mind. Some of these things being done behind closed doors. Some of this stuff being done, you know, cloak and dagger, kind of like, you know. Does anybody remember this statement here? You'll find out what's in it after you sign it. Does anybody remember that? That kind of stuff going on. Just trying to find a way around opposition, trying to forward their so-called agenda. And verse 29 says, being filled with all unrighteousness.
Yeah.
Notice this. Fornication. Wickedness. Mm-hmm. Covetousness. Maliciousness. Full of envy. Murder. Debate. Deceit. Malignity. Whispers. Backbiters. Haters of God.
Yeah.
Despiteful. I'm describing the Democratic Party, I think.
Yes, you are.
Proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents. That's where it starts, at the home. If a child is not raised right, it'll never know right. You know, parents have an obligation to their children. One thing I like about the Amish, they won't even let their children learn English until they've taught them everything they need to know.
Right.
And then they'll let them learn English. They've got them sheltered. From corruption until they get old enough to know things they need to know in life.
Amen.
And then they'll let them learn English. But disobedient to parents, you know, I was a little bit disobedient, but I'll tell you right now, buddy, you can teach a monkey. I mean, I got tired of picking myself up by the floor,
right,
being slapped down, being kicked, being beat, and I deserved every bit of it in some. My parents was pretty lenient. I mean, I was the only child. They spoiled me rotten, but they still got through my thick head that in that house, it was going to be like they said, not like what I said.
That's right.
They were very persuasive. I still remember Daddy pulling that belt out, but I started dancing. Yeah. But disobedient to parents. You know, parents could help in this matter.
Yes.
But I think even the parents are neglecting the most important responsibility to being a parent, and that's to your children. I think the parents are kind of caught away with their own agendas and neglecting the children.
Mm-hmm.
Bible says a child left its own to bring its mother's shame.
Yeah, right.
Backbiters, verse 30. Haters of God. I wonder why they hate God, Brother Ed. Haters of God.
Mm-hmm.
I remember my mom, my dad, they blamed everything on God.
Yeah,
it was GD this, GD that.
That's right.
But you know, they were actually saying that without even thinking it. Yeah.
Right.
It was just like a.
Yeah. My word to them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, it didn't really mean it. I lived with them for, you know, at least 18, 20 years. And I knew they didn't mean it, but they'd still say it.
Mm-hmm.
But they didn't hate God. They just didn't understand or know God. My mama, she rededicated her life. My dad, he got saved. And I remember my grandfather, he was a very godly man. I was sitting there on the couch, we was eating popcorn, watching a movie or something. Here come Papa Head. And their whole demeanor changed when he came in the house. They started talking different, acting different since he left. I mean, it's like, you know, I'm sitting there seeing it, you know, but but they put on like a little show for him.
Yeah.
And then as soon as he left, everything went back like it was. But these haters of God, that's a little different. Mom and Dad, they didn't hate God, they just didn't know God. Paul was considered to be a hater of God, but he said what he did ignorantly, didn't know no better, and he found mercy. But these people actually hate God, Bonnie.
Yeah.
They hate God so much they're trying to build a world apart from God. They're trying to somehow show God they don't need Him. They don't want Him. And somehow they're going to get rid of Him. And God just kind of winks at that.
Yeah.
This world, it needs a... Whew, it needs to be relearned. Despiteful. You know, you mention that name, Jesus. Oh, my. Who does he think he is?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, you one of them goody two-shoes.
Mm-hmm.
Despiteful.
Right.
Proud.
Yeah.
Boasters. Inventors of evil things. Disobedient to parents. Verse 31. Without understanding. You see, they just don't understand that God rules.
Right.
But there's no dethroning God. I'm sorry if that busts your bubble, but you're not going to injure God. You're not going to remove Him. You're going to stand before Him one day, and it's going to be tough.
Mm-hmm.
When you have to give an account to God for every word that you've spoke, He brings up all the things that you've done. You'll amen your own sentence.
That's right.
You know, Judas went out and hanged himself. He knew he'd done wrong.
Yeah.
He didn't really get the full meaning of the wrong that he did till he threw the money down and said, I betrayed the innocent blood. Jesus said concerning Judas, he'd been better off he'd never had been born. You know, a lot of people fit that same category.
Mm-hmm.
They lack understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, implacable, unmerciful. You know, they want mercy. But they don't want to give you none. Who knowing the judgment of God, and they do, right in the back of their mind, they know better. God put it in there.
That's right. The
Bible said God's greater in our heart and knows all things. And, you know, I have to admit, this is a good verse right here to put right here.
Bless him, God.
I'm on it. I just can't find the exact verse I'm looking for. But it says, God's greater than our heart knows all things. The heart condemns us not. We have confidence towards God because we do those things that's pleasing in His sight. Maybe I'm in the wrong chapter here. First John chapter 2. Well, it's raining outside. Take me a minute here.
Praise him, God. That's good, though.
Yeah. I was at the quoted, I guess. Lordy. But it says God's greater than our heart, and He knows all things. You're not going to keep anything from God, and you're not going to surprise God. You're not going to undermine God. You might be able to get by with, you know, pulling something off with your fellow man, but you're not going to pull anything off concerning
God. I don't think God woke up this morning and said, well, I didn't believe this was going to happen.
You're right, brother.
You know?
You're right. Matter of fact, he even declared the end from the beginning.
That's right.
And said his counsel would stand, and it will. Amen. Hey, good morning, Brother Eric.
Good morning.
Trying to rain out there. Okay, I was in the wrong chapter. It's 1 John chapter 3. And it's verse 20. If our heart condemn us, God is greater than our heart, knoweth all things. Beloved, if our heart condemn us not, then we have confidence toward God. They don't want to retain God in their knowledge. But back in the back of their mind, in their conscience, Bible talks about God put the law in the hearts of even the Gentiles that they knew right from wrong. Who knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only to do the same, but have pleasure in them to do them. They want some. You know, when I was young, you may have been like this too, I don't know. But as long as somebody else did what I did, I felt better about it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? If I took a pencil and I could talk him into taking a pencil, it made me feel a little bit better about me taking a pencil. And anyway, it don't change the fact, like it says here, who knowing the judgment of God, I know one day I'm going to stand before God.
Yeah.
And I know one day I'm going to have somebody standing there with me. Hallelujah. Mm-hmm. And even though this last verse, let me bring that in here. Thank God for a Bible. In 1 John chapter 2, my little children, these things write I unto you that you sin not. That'd be good.
Yeah.
Only thing is, Paul said he sinned. And he said we all sin.
That's right.
Matter of fact, in Romans chapter 3, verse 23, all have sinned to come short of the glory of God. But he said, and if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, which means a lawyer, Jesus Christ the righteous. And he is the propitiation for our sins, so I'm not going to stand alone. He's going to defend me in the court of God. But not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. So when it comes to God, don't sin. But if you do sin, first thing you want to do is confess, Lord, I'm sorry. Ask to be forgiven.
That's right.
And knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things. See, these people, they don't care about the judgment of God. I don't care. That's what they're saying. I don't care. Who knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only to do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. I'm just telling you, this earth, not just America, this world's in trouble. And it's not COVID trouble. It's not China trouble. It's not financial trouble or nuclear war trouble. It's trouble with God. That the whole world may become guilty. Romans chapter 3, verse 19 says, that the world may become guilty before God. Well, we've reached that destination.
Yes, we have.
Thank God for a place called Calvary.
Yeah.
Thank God for mercy and grace. And without that mercy and grace, buddy, it's going to be rough to stand before God. Amen.
Amen.
All right, we'll stop our Sunday school lesson
you
right
know,
there.
Brother Eddie,
yeah.
I believe that we're going to stand before the Father and be judged.
Amen.
Talking about Jesus being our advocate. We're going to stand before the Father to be judged for everything that we've done. And when He reads this off, Jesus is going to say, wait a minute, that's under the blood.
Amen. That's right.
As long as it's under the blood, like you said there, we're going to ask for forgiveness because it is under the blood. So ask for forgiveness. And it won't be brought up against us.
Amen. That's right.
But Jesus will stand there and say, wait a minute, what He's done here, that's under the blood.
Yeah.
He's going to present His church, a glorious church, without having spot or wrinkle or any such thing that it should be holy without blemish. I'm not going to present. He's going to present me, like Brother Ed said, by the blood, to clean this from all sin.
Thank you, Lord Jesus.
He'll say, Eddie, let's clean up real quick. No. But He will present me without spot, without blemish.
Yes.
And thank God for the Lord's part. in our salvation. He's the captain of our salvation. He made our salvation perfect through suffering. God accepted what He did. I accepted what He did. And that gave me that unspeakable gift that I'm eternally saved, eternally going to heaven. Amen. Can't be undone. I mean, you're talking about a covenant, but that's about as good a covenant as you can get.
That's right.
Whosoever believeth in Him should have everlasting life, and I did. Whosoever call upon Him shall be saved. I did. And I'm going all the way with Him. Amen. We'll stop right there.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.